Well, good morning again, and Merry Christmas. Elizabeth and Mary together, two relatives, we don't exactly know how they're related, and they're pregnant at the same time. That's a fun moment. If that were just the story, that would be fun. And that kind of thing happens in real life. Or this is real life. Even today is what I mean. All right, now that I've committed heresy, I guess I'll see you later. Now, what I mean is, when that kind of thing happens today, two friends, two relatives, sisters, it's a fun moment. And what I find interesting is that Mary and Elizabeth are two out of four people total who know that there's more to the story. That, it's true, every mother thinks that their child is special. These two actually are. And they are so special that whether they know it or not, their own people have been waiting for them for a very long time. And so they come together, they celebrate, Mary bursts into song as though this were some kind of musical theater or something like that. And this is an exciting moment. It's got everything that we would associate with sentiment. Babies and celebration and cozy, comfortable, good feeling. These are the things that we associate with celebrating Christmas as well. All is tender and mild. And that's fine. Christmas is often celebrated in a way that we emphasize, because there's a baby at the heart of it all, that we emphasize the sentiment and this comfort and the joy that is involved with new life, and these are all great. And even in like kind of secular culture that celebrates Christmas but may not acknowledge like where it comes from, it's the same. You'll see in, quote, Christmas movies where at some point there's this realization that, well, Christmas is about family. It's about, getting over past hurts. It's about coming together. It's about, whatever. It's about Jesus, but fine. And that's not wrong. But if we look closer at this moment of Mary and Elizabeth together, we'll notice pretty fast that there's more to this story. That this is the moment where God is doing something and doing what he promised you and has promised for a very long time. He's being faithful to that promise, which is a way of talking about his righteousness. He's come to save his people. And I'm convinced that at least at this point, Mary and Elizabeth don't fully understand what that means. And you can kind of see that in the song that Mary sings. It's very much echoing Hannah's song in the Hebrew Bible. Google it later. So it's very deeply connected to the story of Israel, and in it she talks about her father Abraham and his children, his descendants. It's very much both said and implied that God is doing this for his people Israel. This is where bringing the mighty down and raising up the lowly and feeding the hungry, and it's kind of radical. And the song is filled with kind of notions of turning society on its head. I've probably said this before, but the great Old Testament scholar Walter Brueggemann would say, go on to say that It's no wonder Jesus became a radical, because look at the kinds of songs his mother sang, rather, which makes sense. When we celebrate Christmas, we sometimes forget that. That actually, at this moment in time, where Mary meets Elizabeth, is not really that comfortable. Now, in the broader world, like throughout the Roman Empire, basically, there was a time of peace. It was called the Pax Romana, Peace of Rome. And that was generally true, but it was not necessarily true of the region of Judea and to the Galilee region north. The Romans were an occupation force. There was a revolt that started in Galilee, probably when Jesus is 12-ish, like kind of like towards the end of his 12th year, something like that. And it was a revolt against Rome, and it was centered around taxation, because of course. And for their trouble, Rome crucified at least 2,000 Jewish men. What are the odds that Jesus knew somebody who was involved in that? Very, very high. So if that happens, 12 years later, that moment is probably not as peaceful as we might imagine. Of course, Jesus was born down in Bethlehem during the reign of Herod the Great, and Herod the Great was not great. There would have been a pretty significant, consistent tension within Jerusalem, especially as he got older and a little bit less predictable, which is even scarier. He was incredibly violent and paranoid and powerful, and that's not a good combination. And he's alive when Jesus is born. So, I mean, that moment may have been peaceful and mild and wonderful, but this was not a fantastic time to be alive. And the consistent thing throughout all of this is that the people are the problem. And to be perfectly honest, we can look at the issues facing the world today and say, the people are the problem. There may be disagreement about which people and in what sense, but I think we can all agree on that. So funnel that back into this moment when Mary and Elizabeth are excited for each other. That the children that are currently gestating within them will be the tip of the spear of what God is about to do in our world. And because of that, because God needs to do something, because not only is a prophet coming to prepare, and then the Savior who is coming to save, all of that implies that the world needs saving to begin with. And I think, like, when we sit down for Christmas dinner, which at least to me is kind of like the moment when we fully celebrate Christmas. I'm sure everybody has different traditions and different times when we actually celebrate. Whatever that looks like for you, in that moment, it sometimes can be easy to forget that that first Christmas, the birth of Jesus, divinity taking on flesh, is done in defiance of a world in desperate need. Have you ever thought about celebrating the birth of Jesus, Christmas, as an act of defiance? I suspect not. But think about maybe like Christmas celebration gone wrong, or Christmas celebration when it can be challenging. There's enough people here that either will experience Christmas this year or have in years past in such a way that it's hard. There's an old joke that the shortest day of the year is December 21st, yesterday, and the longest day of the year is 4 days later when you spend Christmas with your family. And that's, you know, it's funny. It's true for some people. I will say I feel very blessed. It's not really true for me. But I know some people for whom that's very true. And it's a hard time of year. You're going to go, you're going to have dinner or some kind of celebration, and it's going to test you. You show up and suddenly you're thinking, or maybe you're hosting, and you're thinking, okay, don't talk about politics, that's just going to irritate that person, or don't talk about those kind of politics, because then you're never going to hear the end of it. Don't talk about religion, don't ask them about that, because it's a sore subject. I've got a bad history with that person, but we're going to try to get through it because it's Christmas. That I know this person's going to be super critical of this person and me, and I'm going to try to bite my tongue because it's Christmas. We're going to keep the peace. Or what else might you bring to the table? Like, last year didn't go very well. Things were really hard. I lost a good friend. I lost relatives. I lost my job and part of my identity. Or I've got so many unanswered questions since a divorce. Or so on and so forth. There are so many hard things that we can bring to Christmas celebration. And when we make Christmas celebration purely sentimental, we lose the defiance of Christmas. Jesus is born into a world that will kill him. And yet he does it anyway. And not only that, but as he will grow up and everything he does, everything he teaches, the miracles he performs, the lives that he touches, the way that he is critical of and pokes at those in power is all done in defiance of death. And when you live and orient yourself in defiance of that kind of thing, and in defiance of evil and death, it will strike back. And from very early on in Jesus' career, he knows where this story is going, and he does it anyway. And when we celebrate Christmas, yeah, it's cute, and there's a baby, and we like babies, most of us do, and it's a celebration, and you eat good food, and all of that. But as human beings, we bring more than cozy good feelings to the table. We bring the hard stuff too. And the beauty of Christmas is that we celebrate in defiance of those things, because the person whose birth we are celebrating did so in defiance of those things as well. This baby will grow up into a man who will defy evil and death in such a way that those things will consume him, and then he will walk out of that tomb 3 days later and defy death in a way it has never been defied before. That's real victory. And the only way to celebrate that victory is first to take seriously what you have gone through to get there. Yeah, Christmas can be fun, and I love Christmas, and I like having fun, so what's not to love? At the same time, maybe this is a moment to take really seriously the things that were hard. Maybe it's a great time. It's the perfect time to take seriously my responsibility in that. To recognize that as much as I don't want to admit it, I contribute to my own pain. That's what the Bible will call sin. And everything Jesus does is in defiance of that too. So when you celebrate, in just a couple days, it astonishes me every year. Celebrate Christmas well. The birth of Jesus, the birth of our Savior. And remember that he's here to save us from things, namely ourselves. And just as he was born 2,000 years ago into the backdrop of some fairly dark times, we celebrate his birth in dark times. We all bring things to the table that are hard, that we'd rather forget, mistakes that we've made, ways that we've been hurt. And so we celebrate with joy in defiance of those things. Because Jesus, born on Christmas Day, defied those in a way that they have never been defied before, and that defiance now defines us. Amen.